Welcome to the Transform 2017 Virtual Summit, brought today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you one of the top poets in the world and my personal friend, Mr. Fox Meyer. Fox, why don't you take it from here?
Nadia, thank you. I don't know if I'm one of the top poets in the world, but today I'll give it my best shot. Transform 2017. Here is my message to you all today. This coming year, 2017, if you cry, don't cry to quit. But as Eric Thomas says, cry to keep going. I am a speaker, author, teacher, and a coach, and I will tell you my life story in the hope that when you cry, you don't cry to quit. You will cry to keep going. So here we go. It's eighth period. It's the end of the day. When I say, as a school teacher, my mind is all over the place, I mean my mind is all over the place. Eight, four more than my brother's number in high school. Five more than my younger brother's number in high school. Four less than my sister's number in college. And one less than Bordeaux's number in college. Bordeaux is Ryan Bordenick, and he was the catcher on the University of South Carolina baseball team when I was its team manager my freshman year. That year, I would pray that with no one on base, we would give up a ground ball to third base, so Bordeaux, as a catcher, would go back up first base, losing his mask and skull cap in the process. I would run out and pick it up because I love to run. I look at the clock. Time is going by way too slowly, and I know my students are looking at it and thinking the same thing. But here's the bottom line. My freshman year at the University of South Carolina was 20 years ago. Proof that Karen Tenner was right when she told me, "Fox, life is short, but the days, they are long. It takes and it teaches. We see it tick away from the bleachers. It passes and amasses, as seen by the lines on my face. On clocks and on watches, the same amount each day allotted. We are late, early, and hurried by the hands never replaced. As a young buck, I saw my future clear, with visions of grandeur, oh dear. Penthouse to outhouse, all mine. I was just lied to by time." In the room, it's very hot, and I lift up my right arm, and I see a sweat stain in my right armpit. I know just below that sweat stain sits a scar in the shape of an X, where a chest tube was put in me to keep me alive upon my birth in October of 1978. I think of Willie. Willie was a roommate of mine in rehab for a surgery that I had when I was 12 years old. I would have frequent conversations with him. At the time, he was 15 years old, and he stopped breathing, reason undiagnosed. And he lied there with a smile on his face, talking to me with a chest tube just under his right armpit. So to me, Willie is and was my brother. A short time after our conversations, Willie passed away. The bell rings. It's the end of eighth period. My students have survived, and so have I. I look up in the sky and I think of Willie. I know we can buy a lot of things in this life, but we can't buy time. Even though it's the end of the school day, my work is far from done. I look straight ahead at my classroom, and I see entangled desks, paper, pencils, pens everywhere. And as I clean up my room, I close my eyes and I imagine it's spotless. There is nothing that frees my mind more without a doubt than going through my classroom and throwing things out. Mondays through Fridays, I am freed from material prison. As I go through my classroom and throw pens, pencils, and papers in their respective bins, I walk along the hallways and profanity I mutter. I can picture my classroom in its endless clutter. But then I look to my left and I smile because I see an accounting class with paper neatly piled. I submitted my Christmas list to my mom and she said, "Fox, you need that football like you need a hole in the head." Looking back at my life, if doing it again, I'd wake up and suit up and be a garbage man. A pack rat or a hoarder, I'm not. Because to me, people, zero adds up to a lot. I go out my classroom door and lock the door. And before I can leave the building, I am tapped on the shoulder by a student. She says, "Hey, Prof, I read your book in the library today. I liked it. I think I'm going to buy a copy." Just when I've given up almost all hope, I look into the eyes of someone that's the reason I've continued being a classroom teacher. I can picture myself as a sophomore in high school in study skills class, with my head down on my desk, completely exhausted. I hear a knock at the door. It's my English teacher, Mr. Ranger, giving me the thumbs up, just making sure that I'm okay. I walk out into the parking lot. Legs entangled, knees entangled, hips entangled, feet so entangled. And again, I have a tumble. A colleague in her car sees this, rolls down her window and says, "Young man, are you okay?" I think, well, I've never been all right, but I intend to give each and every day my best shot. I get into my car, right leg first, and I cannot see the scar on my right leg, on my right hip. It's product of a 1984 and 1988 hip osteotomy because, well, people, I'm wearing a pair of slacks. As I begin to sit down, the first thing that happens is that my knees draw closer and closer together. CP is relentless. When it pushes, I pull, and when I pull, it pushes. And the absolute truth of the matter is, I have never put the amount, time, and effort into my therapy as I should have. And recently, I met up with my therapist, Kathy, for the first time in 25 years and told her this. She said, "Fox, you hated me." I didn't hate her. I hated the situation. I can picture myself in therapy, just standing there, looking down at my feet. Because of the arch in my feet, when I'm standing up, you could fit a matchbox car under my feet. I also look at my curled toes. And I think of people, so many of people in the world that can just, while standing up, slip on their shoes or slippers and walk out the door. I can't do this. It's another reason why I hate airport security lines, because I have to sit down, take my shoes off, and put them on. And I'd be lying to you if I told you this didn't bother me. I walk over to a mirror and stand sideways. I see how much my butt and pelvis stick out, and I swear I could be 2 or 3 inches taller. I look at my lower leg. It's going in one direction and my knees in the other. I breathe my insecurities out and in. But here's the bottom line, people. I could let this pressure bust my pipes, or I could use it to build a diamond. And I choose the latter. I'm that annoying cough you just can't kick. I'll tick you off and I'll make you sick. I'll test your will and your character. I am that weighted test that truly matters. I will turn a 5-minute walk into the sun into a second-to-second fog-ridden manhunt. Hello, I'm adversity, and I introduce a man to himself. I make a left-hand turn onto I-287, southbound. I stare straight ahead, and I think of all the small freedoms I have been able to enjoy throughout my life. And then simultaneously, I think about all the times when I have not been able to enjoy those freedoms. I see scars on my elbows, and I can picture myself. I'm 12 years old lying in a bed at home in a cast from the waist down after a recent surgery. And I am tired. Not so much tired of pain or the stiffness, but tired of having people have to do things for me. Even in my best moments, my strongest moments, this has been a very hard thing for me to accept about life. But in this moment, in a cast from the waist down, when I have a runny nose, I have to ask someone to go get me a tissue. When I am hungry, I have to ask someone to go get me something to eat. And if my toe has an itch, I have to ask someone to scratch it because, simply, I can't. But as a 12-year-old, that night, I made a pact with myself. I said, I will not. I refuse to let anybody carry me to the bathroom to use the bathroom. So I devised a plan. I turn myself in my cast, so I'm crossing the bed, not lying with it. I turn myself over onto my stomach, onto my right side, and I crawl myself onto the floor, plank. And I army crawl across a rug, across a foyer. That's how I get the scars on my elbows. I make a left-hand turn into the bathroom. And I prop myself up onto the commode or up using the commode. Hold onto a wall for dear life, and then freedom. Freedom. I think of how, as a classroom teacher and how my students, that freedom is threatened every single day. It's threatened by people who don't think much of themselves and so try to ridicule others so they don't think much of themselves. They're called bullies. I once had a classmate in seventh grade in gym class tell me that I didn't count. That classmate is no longer with us. He took his own life because a girlfriend said that he didn't count. I want to let you all know that you all count. That's why I'm here speaking with you today, to you today. Take whatever you want, table, chair, or booth. I'm going to give you what you want and I need. That's the truth. Bullying is not hard. Just take someone, something that's different about someone and dwell on it. Well, we're all different, so whoop-de-doo. Also, you can do it about things that don't make sense. I was told once by someone very close to me that a song was bad because I was listening to it. And you can also bully people about things that are completely obvious. I cannot focus with both eyes on one object at the same time. And someone recently, very close to me again, looked at me and said, wow, dude, your eyes are messed up. I asked him very plainly, they've been that way my whole life. Are you blind? To the bullies, you have no right to ridicule others because of your own insecurities. To the bullied, you're under no obligation to be your bully's friends. But both parties, you have a right to your feelings. Please show your toughness and get help. Get help because I do. Even if tough times last, tough people, they last longer. And as you go down that mogul-ridden path, let your faith grow stronger. If you fall off the horse, get up and get back on the saddle. Victory Highway is not smooth sailing, for that road is a constant uphill battle. Even if positive thoughts don't work, negative thoughts, they'll kill you. Keep your mind, your body, and your soul on high alert. You will never know the heights you'll take yourself to. So keep one hand on the wheel, people, and one foot on the gas. These struggles you'll face, they're real. And you can tell them to kiss your you-know-what. I approach my exit, 13A, off I-287 southbound. I appreciate so much being alone. Yes, in my life, I've been lonely, but I appreciate so much being alone. Why, you ask? Well, for me, a man with CP, being alone is affirmation that I can do things myself. although throughout time, not come without its share of bumps and bruises. The fact of the matter is, the story I'm about to tell you would have never been told if I simply listened to my mother's sage advice when she told me, "Fox, don't go to the grocery store when you're hungry." Well, recently when I pulled up this local Stop and Shop, I was starving. Poor life choice. And it wasn't about the kinds of food that I bought. It was the amount of food that I bought. For example, eggs, choices, 6, nah, 12, not enough, 36, that's the ticket. Why not buy something that in so many ways, shapes, and forms is going to lead to an accident? Next thing I know, I pull into my garage with 6 bags of groceries. And I have 2 choices. Make one trip with 6 bags on my arms, up the set of stairs that I hate going up, or take 2 manageable trips up these stairs with only 3 bags each time. Of course, stubborn old me chooses choice number 1 and tries to be a hero to myself. I grab all of the bags. I lock my car. I wobble to the stairs. And as I go up the stairs, I use the walls for balance. I'm winning this battle until my luck runs out. 36 eggs reduced to 0. I lose my appetite, and I lose it because I made a choice. Question: how do you hold a cup? Do you hold it simply across its neck? Or do you hold it across its neck with a napkin under it because without it, it's either too hot, too wet, or too cold? Or do you hold it with your hand hovering over the top? I do this because I've found that throughout time, if I don't, I lose an ounce of what's in that cup every 10 feet that I walk. Because my right leg is shorter than my left. And as I've always walked, my head and shoulders never stay level. So, over time, it's been a bottle over a glass, a can over a cup, a thermos over a saucer. When I go to restaurants, I hardly ever take out, almost always dine in. And if I go to a big sporting event or concert, I eat a huge meal before. Not so much because I want to save money, but as we all know, stadiums have so many stairs, so few rails, and so few bottles. I can recall a recent sporting event that I attended. I got too big for my britches. I ordered 2 draft beers. I held them around their neck. As I began to walk, you better believe it, I lost 10% what was in those cups for every 10 feet that I walked. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw a fan walk over to a cop and point in my direction. The cop walked over to me with his head down, and I say this to you. Thank you, Prince EA, for showing us DNA is not regulated by the FDA. Okay, spread the news. I'm short and I'm white. I have a friend 6'9". He has 19 tattoos. When I see him across the room, I don't see color. In fact, people, I don't see anything. I just think, brother, let's get away from using labels and groups and just jump into one big pot and make soup. I pull into the parking lot. TD Bank Ballpark. I park and I change from my work clothes, my school clothes, into street clothes. You ask, why do I do this? Well, for years I didn't. Our manager, Brett, asked me, Fox, why would you put a shirt and tie on after a game if all you have to do is drive home? Point taken. So now, every time I go there, from school, I change from my work clothes to my street clothes. And this time I do it. And the last thing that I do is I put on and tie my shoes. I grab each shoe and look at the bottom of it. The inside of the bottoms of my shoes are worn thin. Cerebral palsy always telling me that it's there. I put on my left shoe and tie it with few problems. The right is much harder. I do it as quickly as I can, and I do as poor of a job of it as has ever been done before. And I know that at some point between my car and the clubhouse, my right shoe will come untied. Somehow, some way, I think of Kenny Wilkinson. He was a good friend of mine when I was in college. He always told me, as my coach, "Fox, you can learn things from people, even if it's what not to do." So now, people, I want to make a list of things that I've done that I'd rather you not do. Let my insight be your foresight. One obviously would be, please, take the time to tie your shoes. It seems that every single day, my right shoe comes untied. Don't make that mistake that I've made all these years. Additionally, eat until you are satisfied. Don't, as Coach Tolman told me, eat all you can take. Recently, I went to the doctor with stomach problems. Told my dad my stomach hurt, and he responded by saying, "Fox, you certainly do put enough stuff in it." If you see a beautiful girl out on the beach or on the street, that's real. Simply enjoy the view. If you see a beautiful girl on a screen somewhere, that's not real. It's an illusion. And if you act on this, you will live years of your life in regret. Additionally, if you're enjoying an adult beverage and that first one tastes good, that's real. That's not an illusion. Enjoy it. Make that first beverage taste and last as long as you can. If your second adult beverage tastes better than your first adult beverage, that's not real. It's an illusion. Stop drinking and leave wherever you are. Also, if you want to be rich, simply look at it this way. If you want to be rich, want less. Thanks, Dad, for that advice. All your life, you push to the limit. You hope and you wish for a salary 6 digits. Wanting the cash, the cake, and the glue. Wanting to be better than anyone you ever knew. Wanting it all every minute, second, and passing hour. It's the coin that has the power. Time fades, memories pass. So I ask you, which is the currency that lasts? Is it the bank, your cash? My friend, I'm afraid those things don't last. What about time and advice you've passed on to family and friends? I think it's those things that don't have an end. I've come to one conclusion, all you lads. Your impact on each other is the greatest currency you could ever have. Again, my name is Fox Spire. I would like to make an offer to all of you today. It is this. Please go to my website, foxbeyer.com, spelled foxbeyer.com. And if you would like a copy of my book, please email me off my website. I would also like to offer you my speaking services. If I can inspire you in any way, again, please log on to my website, foxbeyer.com, and I would like to transform you now and beginning in the year 2017. Thank you so much for your time. Tanya, back to you.